Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent, full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, is celebrating over 55 years, insuring East Tennesseans from auto, home, life, and so much more. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, they can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Sometimes snitches get stitches, but sometimes snitches get prophecy. We don't get all the Jewish hatred, but we get why the Bible says the whole world will turn against her. But don't think that we're being left out, because the world is turning against Christians too. But that isn't stopping people from giving their lives to Jesus in the midst of losing their lives to an oppressive regime. If the world seems oppressed, if not outright possessed, then you must be seeing the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, April 10th, 2026. You can watch or listen to any of our episodes again. You can share them with your friends. You can read the articles we talk about, and you can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on the waymedia.net. Or just grab our Way Media app right from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who went to the paint store to get thinner, but it didn't work. And that's Pastor Mark, who wants to remind all husbands that every time you talk to your wife, your brain should remember that this conversation is being recorded for quality and training purposes.
That's exactly right. I wish you could go and get thinner by going to my paint, but you're right. That's right. That's right. You know, the training, that's very good. I have no comment. I'm going to be very careful with any comment that I might make on that. But
kind of like how we were before the show today.
Yes. 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 Yes.
There's times and places to say things.
I'm doing fine doesn't mean I'm doing fine. Things are good doesn't mean things are good.
That's right.
Just learn how to read. It's a whole new language. It really is. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, you need an interpreter.
Yes, you do. Someone is speaking in a tongue.
That's
and
right.
We
it's,
need,
it's a different language.
We need an interpretation.
Yes, yes. We're going to wait. We're going to wait for the interpretation. Nobody say anything. We'll wait.
Something like that, yes. Okay, so anything you would like to discuss before we get into our article?
Well, I think we need to talk a little bit about what's going on with Iran and kind of just some general conversation about it. You know, it's interesting, and I want to just, you know, kind of say, I know one of the things we're watching for, again, the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle, but I don't think we're not there at this point. Now, things could change at any moment. But it's interesting when you look at what it says here in Ezekiel, and because I've been, you watch it, what's going to happen? Of course, we see the alliance with Russia and Iran, and we'll have an article that addresses that as well. But when it talks in Ezekiel 38 about what's happening there, and I get questions about this, you know, from time to time, but what's happening there, it talks about, you know, you'll be visited there in the latter years, that is the nation of Israel, and you'll be gathered back to the people on the mountains of Israel, which have long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. And so when you look at the condition for the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle is when Russia and Iran and these other nations move against them, is they're going to be dwelling safely. They're not dwelling safely right now. And not just because there's a temporary upsurge in activity. There's always wars that go on, but there are just too many enemies around them with Hezbollah and, you know, on the north there with Lebanon and the Houthis down in the south and in Yemen. And of course, what's going on with Iran and Gaza and all that. So, we hardly even hear anything about Gaza. Have you noticed that? So much is going on with Iran right now. Gaza is still not settled. Think about that. I mean, they never finished the job in Gaza because of all that happened with Iran. And now it's kind of on hold. So once this is all settled, you got to go back in and deal with Gaza. But I look at all these different areas, Greg, that have to be dealt with. There's a lot that has to happen before they dwell safely. And so, but I think you're seeing, again, the stage set, as we've talked about in the past. Interesting with this ceasefire that's happening now. And again, just so our listeners know, there's been a temporary ceasefire. It's supposed to be for 2 weeks in the Strait of Hormuz. It's right there on the coast it's right there next to Iran, on the coast of Iran. And I think it's Oman on the lower end, around the top, but definitely on the coast of Iran there. And so you have to work through the strait. It's international waters. But because it's so narrow, I think it's the narrowest points, like 30 miles across. And that sounds like a lot, but that's not a lot when you're talking about big tankers and missiles and planes and ships. That's not much at all. So anything that tries to go through there, you can put mines in the water. You can fire a missile from right there off the bank, and you can sink things. So even though we've gone in and decimated so much of their ability to do anything, that's kind of a hard thing to totally take over and conquer. Either way, the Strait of Hormuz is supposed to be a ceasefire for 2 weeks while they let all these ships through. Well, they're not letting the ships through. And President Trump is already starting to kind of say, hey, this is not our agreement. You better come around. And if they don't come around, I think you could see us maybe, in just a few days, kick back in and start at least attacking down the border there on Hormuz, where next to the seashore, where, again, Iran is, or going in and doing the damage to the, they've talked about knocking out their power grid. And a lot of their stuff, that would just devastate them as a nation for many, many years to come. And so we'll see what happens on that, because Iran, they're master negotiators. They're great at stalling things and making you think they're going to come to an agreement. Yes, we'll do this. But all they do is stall and stall and stall. And the goal is to let something else happen that just kind of makes the whole thing fall apart. And in the past, they've been able to stall, especially when it comes to things they've done to Israel. And the world gets so politically involved that Israel can't do anything else, because now they're in big trouble with the world. So, again, they're stalling, I think, hoping that the world's going to get involved and America can't do anything. But they've never dealt with President Trump. And he doesn't care what the world's going to say.
Right.
He's going to do what he's going to do regardless. And right now, he's mad at the world because they hadn't helped. Even NATO, our allies, have not helped us. So you're not going to dissuade the president on that one. We'll see what happens in the long run. If he gets what he wants, I think you can see this thing stop. Otherwise, it won't. But the point is that right now there's not peace with Iran. They're not dwelling safely with Iran. They're not dwelling safely with the Lebanon and Hezbollah. They're not dwelling safely with the Houthis down in Yemen. They're not dwelling safely with Gaza, although Gaza is pretty much neutered. They're still not dwelling safely. So this is the condition that's needed for them to move on them. Now, what's interesting? So I think some other things have to fall in place, which could happen rather quickly. Look. If they don't keep the agreement, if they don't let ships go through the Strait of Hormuz, and President Trump gave them, the two-week ceasefire was supposedly, Strait was opened immediately for the 2 weeks. So they're not even doing that. They're letting just a few ships through here and there and then charging them money. So the president is not going to put up with that, I don't think, for 2 weeks. So you can see this thing start back up. And like I said, it's either going to be there on the border of Israel, they're at the Strait trying to clear that out, or it's going to be the larger nation as a whole taking out their power and their energy resources, which would devastate them as a nation. That would neutralize Iran, at least on paper, because if he takes those grids out, I mean, their navy's gone. Most of their missiles and launchers are gone. Their military has been decimated, by attacks on their direct facilities and all. So they can do limited control like the Hormuz and things like that. But I think he could devastate them, and then Hormuz wouldn't even be, they couldn't control it anymore, and it would be just a thing where international again. So that could happen here in the next few days if they don't follow through on the ceasefire agreement. The Houthis, they're down there shooting, a missile every so often. They don't have a lot of power and authority. Go in there and take out a couple of sites down there, and they would be shut up. They'd be afraid. They're doing some negotiations right now, some talks between Israel and Lebanon, with Hezbollah, but Lebanon's not been able to control Hezbollah in the past. And again, for our listeners, just so you know, Lebanon, of course, is the country, but within the country, you have a group of terrorists called Hezbollah, and they are basically work for Iran. And so they just kind of do what they want, and because they're terrorists and they have weapons, the Lebanese government's afraid of them, so they can't really make them do what they're supposed to do. It's almost kind of like the Mexican government with the cartels.
Mm.
The Mexican government officially is the one running the show,
that's a good
but you
analogy.
Don't see them. You don't see them fighting the cartels very much because they know they'll all be killed in their homes and their families, and it's like it's just, you know. So who really has the power? But anyway, that has to be in place for this Ezekiel 38 and 39 war to take place. But in the meantime, I believe the stage is being set. Like I said, it's either going to be a big agreement's about to happen, or we're going to see war resume. And I think this time when war resumes, it'll be over rather quickly because President Trump is not going to spend 2 weeks bombing a bunch of different sites. He's going to take them out as a nation with their electric and power, and they're done. I mean, all the lights out. I mean, for the reason he didn't do that right off the bat is because he cares about the people of Iran.
Exactly.
Why have a whole nation suffer?
Exactly.
But this would be, he talked about a whole generation is going to be lost if he does this. What he means is it's going to be a whole generation to rebuild all this, and you're going to be basically buggy, horse and buggy, candles. You know, it's interesting, Greg, something just hit me.
Mm.
I hadn't thought about. It talks about all the horses coming against Israel in this Russia-Iranian invasion. And they still use horses over there. But it might be they have no choice. If they don't follow through...
So it's not just symbolically, like as the writer was seeing the prophecy and he was doing the best he could to describe it, he really maybe saw horses.
Oh, I think they're definitely are going to... Either way,
yeah.
I think there will literally be horses.
Okay.
Because they still fight with horses in that region. They still have armies that fight on horseback.
Wow.
That people don't know that,
yeah.
But they do. So, yes, I think no matter what, horses will be involved, but I think it may be, you may be surprised, we may all be surprised.
Yeah, you don't have a choice.
It may be a horse-led battle with Russia's equipment coming toward Israel in this thing, and more literal than many of us know, when it talks about horses being used in some of these last days battles and all that. But I didn't think about that till just now, because, again, if he goes in and does this, I think we're going to know within a week, if that long, and I know that they're going to, J.D. Vance, Vice President Vance, is going to have talks. He flew today, whether or not they're today or tomorrow, we'll see what happens. But if they start kind of just playing with them, the president's not going to put up with it.
No.
And J.D. Vance is going to recognize, you guys, you better stop it. Somebody makes a decision right now. We're not playing. They're not going to play. And so this could be in a couple of days again, resuming, and it could be something major. And if he does that, that could be why, you know, that it's more of a the military coming in numbers rather than, you know, now we know it's not their jets and their missiles because they won't have them.
Exactly.
But now you can see all the more reason it's going to be a ground force. Now, I think Russia's going to join them, and Russia will bring in some tanks and all the ground forces. What's interesting is Russia right now, more than ever, is allying and bringing in more supplies for Iran. China's bringing in more supplies for Iran right now. So, and that's why President Trump said, look, you keep doing that, and we're going to charge you guys 50% tariff on all your stuff with us because you're helping our enemy. So there's so much going on right now behind the scenes. It is nuts. And look, you talk about the table being set for this new world order, and I'll use their phraseology, of the 10 kingdoms coming together. The UN is dissolving. I don't know how much longer it's going to last because they're not getting money from the nations. They're going to have to shut down, I believe, before too long unless something changes.
You think President Trump's new Board of Peace?
I do, because here's what else is happening. Look what just happened. NATO's about to be shut down, I believe, because NATO didn't help us, and they're already saying, you know what? We're probably going to pull our bases and our funding, and if Russia and these others move on you guys, good luck. You're on your own. You didn't help us when we needed help, so now you're not going to get help. And they're being foolish. I'm telling you, France and Spain, they're being foolish right now. They don't know how foolish they are because Putin would take them and they couldn't stop him. The point is, NATO, I think, is dissolving. I believe after this conflict, you'll see NATO disappear for the most part or reformulate into something new. You're going to see the UN dissolve and or formulate into something new. You're going to see President Trump's Board of Peace and maybe all three come together to form something new, or those two dissolve and it's President Trump's. But Greg, I believe right now we're watching the formulation of this whole 10 kingdom thing getting ready to take place.
Okay, so if we pull NATO out, then that would be the impetus for the European nations to truly galvanize themselves militarily.
Think about it.
Which would give way to that one world government.
Absolutely.
In what it would need to be.
They'd have no choice.
Over there in Europe.
They'd have no choice. And right now, everybody over there is a weak leader. They have no strong leaders.
They have no strong leader.
The only strong leader right now in the world that's visible anyway is President Trump. And the others are just weak. They're not willing to make a stand. Now, you look at Spain and France and all these countries, they've been just inundated with Muslims from around the world. So you can see how they're affected politically. Because if they go against all these people that are there now, these Muslims that hate Israel, and that's probably what's forcing. Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. President Trump doesn't care. So here's the big thing that's hanging out there. Is America just going to disappear, or is it going to be the rapture and we're out of the way? Or are we going to blend in and Trump's going to lose and we have a real liberal president come in? I don't know, but somehow this is all going to transfer to Europe for this all happen.
When Zechariah talks about, you know, Israel being a stumbling stone to all the nations, I wasn't necessarily thinking about the immigrated Muslim influence in these nations that's causing that versus the people natively in these countries. Yep. No, it's the imported Islamic influence. Very
absolutely.
Interesting.
No, absolutely. Everything is being just repositioned right now.
Wow.
I mean, the UN, like I said, I don't think they're going to be around much longer, not at least in the way they currently are. They may survive in some different form.
Sure.
NATO. I mean, they're being torn apart. I mean, that's truly a torn NATO.
Yeah.
And it's a mess. It's a storm. It's a mess. And so you're seeing them fall apart. And like I said, now you got Trump's board. I don't know how this is all going to blend together. I don't know. But we know it's going to end up with 10 kings, 10 kingdoms, 10 toes. It's all going to be some formulation of something new. And they're going to turn their power over to this leader. So, you know, again, I still believe that America is going to somehow survive. And here's why. Europe just doesn't have the military power that the Antichrist is described having. Even if you took all of the military armies and resources and put them all together. Now, maybe if you did that, you would have such a huge amassing of army and military that it would be a force that no one in the world could come against. However, technologically, we are so far ahead of all those guys that it's not even the same ballpark. I mean, we are so far ahead. So it would appear that somehow the Antichrist is going to get a hold of American military resources, because it says the beast, they're going to be saying, who can go to war with the beast? I mean, it's going to be someone you wouldn't dare. He's going to have so much power as all these other nine give him their power. And really, it will initially be the other nine. Then he's going to yank three of them out. So it'll
ten.
Be, yeah. So it'll be the 10 toes. Yeah. But the
you
other,
said nine. So
right. But the nine will give the one who makes the 10th one all the power. That's what I'm saying. And then the 10th one being the Antichrist, we yank three of them out and take it down to three, but then they'll be again. Actually, I take it down seven, but actually be eight because he'll be the one. Anyway,
okay. See, I always thought the 10 toes were already in place. The 10 nations or 10 regions or whatever, and then that is running in existence. But then the Antichrist shows up and yanks three of them out.
That's right.
And then he takes over.
Yes, and they'll give him the power.
The power,
and
yes.
He'll be kind of like the eighth, overruling the seven that are left of the 10 with the three pulled out.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so anyway, but I do believe you could be
prophecy
seeing...
Prophecy math.
And I said it before, I'm going to say it again. I think that God is using President Trump right now, I think, to put everything in place that the Antichrist is going to need to move forward. And that doesn't mean President Trump is bad. That's not my point.
No, no.
This has to happen.
Yeah.
And prophecies, God's going to use somebody to put this in place. And I think he's allowing the power of America and the power of President Trump and put somebody there with a backbone to do this so that it's put into place. And then you're going to see this thing take off. But in the meantime, again, something has to happen, Greg. Now, there also has to be they got to be dwelling safely. So I think you're going to see Iran neutralized, at least for a moment or seemingly. Gaza,
for a season anyway.
Gaza neutralized, seemingly. Houthis and Hezbollah on all sides neutralized seemingly for a moment, and that's when everybody's going to be going, you know what, peace and safety. Finally, here we are, we did it, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden, you're going to see Russia and Iran move these other nations because they're working behind the scenes. And the crazy thing is, you know, when you're dealing with people like Iran, when the Quran says, you know, Allah's a different God than Yahweh, very different. And anybody questioning that, if you're listening to the station, just ask any Muslim, they'll tell you. The Bible says that Yahweh is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right.
Well, ask any Muslim, is Allah the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And they'll very boldly say no, So there's nothing controversial about that. They say, no, he's not at all. He's the God of Abraham, but not of Isaac and Jacob. Whereas the Bible, Yahweh claims and Jehovah claims he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the bottom line is that, you know, these, when you have a Allah says it's okay to lie and deceive your enemies by lying, whereas Yahweh says it's not. And so, you know, when you're going in with these guys, two things. Number one, their God sanctions them
to lie.
Yeah, to lie. And also, if they die for Allah, then they win. In other words, it's to give your life for Allah. You most believe they'll go straight to heaven. So they say Allah still makes the final call. They can't have a guarantee even there. But how do you defeat a nation? How do you negotiate with a nation who lies in the name of their God and they feel righteous in doing it? And then secondly, if they die, they win. I mean, how do you? You know, now there's a natural human fear up to a point of death, but these guys get so crazy and crazed in the, you know, that they're wanting to die and willing to die.
There is a, and I don't know how they do it, but I know even with 9/11, you know, the people that were involved in the takedown with the airplanes, they were shipped out and radicalized and then brought back to do it.
Yeah.
So there's something that they go through,
yeah.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know what they say to them. I don't know whatever. But for lack of a better term, we'll just call it a religious pep talk.
Well, and remember what they did October 7th. We now know afterwards that
the
all
drugs.
Of them were drugged up.
Yes.
So they had this kind of high going. And they
who
didn't
knows
care,
if that was
and,
part of it.
And all their fear's gone. And
yes.
Now they hate the Jews anyway. They have no fear. They're high. Or they're feeling, you know, good. You know,
and they're going to go to heaven and get 70 virgins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, this is what we're dealing with. But here's the good thing this time that has never happened in the past is we have a president who's just not buying it. He knows. And I think he has enough Christian advisors around him and believers who know the truth and know what they teach and know the Bible, that even though he doesn't claim to be a Christian, he respects these people and he's listening to them to some degree. And he realizes, all right, I want to try to make this work. This would be better if we made this work, but if it doesn't, here we go. We have to do this thing. So I wouldn't set your rifle down and unload it and put away your powder yet.
Stay in the yellow.
I would stay ready to go and say, you know what? This could change at any moment because, you know, there's going to be something. Like I said, it could come through a major peace treaty where they say, finally, we deal safely. That could be the way this is going to happen. Or if not, it's going to be another big bombing campaign that's going to put Iran, you know, just, you know, horse and buggy him back to the Stone Age, as he said. And it's not going to be a pretty thing. So it's going to be interesting to watch. I guess I just want our listeners to know
yeah.
that I guess the biggest thing to pull out of this is that, look, I don't think we're about to see Ezekiel 38 and 39 take place at this point. But however, Ezekiel 38 and 39 is not contingent upon the rapture. The rapture could happen at any moment. So
yes.
don't be looking. The rapture isn't tied to there. I think it's represented in a feast, but it's not tied to any feast. It's not tied to any battle. It is a free floating event that the Bible says could happen at any moment. So regardless of what's happening in the Middle East, we need to be watching for the return of the Lord.
And you would imagine also too, Pastor Mark, that having the church removed, especially now that the rapture is a global event.
Yeah.
But specific to these other things that we've been talking about, it would be very helpful for these things to transact if the church is removed, especially out of the U.S.
Absolutely. I mean, again, we are the salt of the earth. We're what keeps the meat from rotting. We're the light of the world. We keep the darkness pushed back. Again, try to imagine what it would be like if we didn't have, you know, the Christians here. There are some people try to blame the Christians for everything. Hey, let me tell you something. If it wasn't for the believers in this nation, I think we'd have been gone a long time ago. The Lord is showing grace because we're here. It must be Sodom and Gomorrah. He couldn't judge them until he got Lot and his family out of there. And then once they were gone, it was done. And I think that's very much where we are as a nation.
All right, in our Ezekiel news this week, we go to yahoonews.com for an article dated April 7th. The Ukraine says that Russia's been supplying Iran with cyber support and spy imagery to hone their attacks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's the Geek Squad, they said, just helping them trying to help them with their, while they can't get their internet working.
Well, you know, the Geek Squad keeps sending me emails that I'm getting charged for my membership. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, you'd be getting those. Yeah
I know.
Me too. It's driving me crazy.
I know.
Don't click on those things.
Don't click on those things.
I can't, but the bad thing is they don't give you a way to block those guys.
No.
I looked online. There's no way to block those spammy.
I just mark it as spam, and that's all I
know.
I can
it's
do.
Like, drives me crazy. Anyway, yeah. All right. So, but yeah, interesting here. Remember, notice again that we point out the help that in two things, the way that Russia and Iran are aligning themselves, but also remember cyber stuff. I mean, that's one way, and we're vulnerable. We've had some cyber attacks, and you don't need to send missiles. You just send emails or texts or different signals or whatever. So Russian satellites have made dozens of detailed imagery surveys of military facilities and critical sites across the Middle East to help Iran strike U.S. forces and other targets, according to the Ukrainian intelligence assessment. The conclusions reviewed by Reuters also found that Russia and Iranian hackers were collaborating in the cyber domain. They represent the most detailed account yet of how Russia has provided secret support to Iran since Israel and the U.S. launched their assault on February the 28th. Within days of being surveyed, military bases and headquarters were targeted by Iranian ballistic missiles and drones, the assessment said, in what is described as a clear pattern. A Western military source and a separate regional security source told Reuters that their intelligence also indicated intense Russian satellite activity in the region and said that imagery had been shared with Iran. So, again, they're openly, I say openly, I mean, they're not doing openly, but it's, they know we can see it, and we obviously are. They're helping Iran militarily in many ways, and even to get coordinates on American targets. You know, war is an interesting thing. You know, you call on the phone and they have a conversation and hear how beautiful the conversation went, what great friends they are, while he's telling them how to bomb our bases, and they're doing it. So a lot of, hypocrisy, politics, whatever you want to call it, but the key thing to note here is that...
Duplicitous.
Yeah, yeah. But the key thing to note here, Russia and Iran are still very, very connected. They're working together, and you're going to continue to see them work together until we move toward, again, that Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle.
All right, let's go to an article from IsraelNationalNews.com. This is dated April 8th. Most Americans hold a negative view or negative views of Israel and Netanyahu.
Yeah, this is, again, I watched this happening. And remember, you mentioned it, Greg, in the first half, and that is all nations are going to turn against the nation of Israel. And you're watching this happen. It's not about Netanyahu. It's not about October 7th. It's not about, this is demonic. And the Bible says that Satan is going to really turn the whole viewpoint of the world against the nation of Israel. I think the sad thing for me is to watch the believers do that.
Yeah, that is the stuff that's disheartening.
It's the most concerning, yeah, is that you see that happen. And again, let me just make one comment about this, Greg, because we could talk forever about it. But for those of you that are thinking that the Jews in Israel are not the real Jews, and there's two things I hear, they're not the real Jews and synagogue of Satan or whatever. Look, all he was talking about in Revelation, when he called the Jews the synagogue of Satan, is he's saying they're not believers. They're there. They're the established religion in all the towns that Paul and the guys were going to, but they rejected Christ. Any group that's religious that rejects Christ, guess what definition they are? They're a synagogue of Satan. The Mormons are a synagogue of Satan. Jehovah's Witnesses are a synagogue of Satan. Islam is a synagogue of Satan. All these that don't have God. I mean, again, anything that's rejecting the Bible, the Bible would call that. So the Jews, they are the synagogue of Satan because, again, they are rejecting the God of the Bible. So don't be stumbled by that kind of language as far as that goes. And secondly, when you look, the Bible says in the last days, I'll bring Israel back into the land, the Jews. There are three major people groups in the land of Israel today. You've got those who say they're Muslims, those who say they are Palestinians, and those who say they're Jews. Well, God said, I'm going to bring the Jews back. So one of these groups are really Jews, or else God's word is not true and God failed or God lied, which we know can't happen. So if you ask the Muslim, are you Jews? They're going to say, no, we're not. If you ask Palestinians, are you Jews? No, we're not. If you ask, Israel, are the Jews, are you Jews? Yes, we're Jews. They're going to say that. And so, the bottom line is there's only one group over there claiming to be Jews, and God said, I'm going to bring the Jews. So it's not hard to pick who they are.
Well, and also, too, Pastor Mark, I think it's worth pointing out, especially to the Christian that's listening, that is struggling with Israel, go and read the words of Jesus. Jesus's anger was not at the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
It wasn't with the Jewish people.
Yeah.
It was with the religious establishment
right.
that was responsible to carry the covenant.
Yeah.
And they were basically hoarding for themselves.
Yeah.
And Jesus made that very clear. The parable of the vine dresser, you know, the owner of the vineyard, and he goes off and away and whatever, and he was speaking to them. He was never angry. Matter of fact, any dialogue that you see recorded in the Gospels, he was always kind, always, you know, working with the people to get them to understand. But the religious leaders, they knew better. They knew exactly what they were doing, and that's where his anger was directed towards, not towards the nation. So if you want to be like Jesus, then your anger, your righteous anger, needs to be directed to those that are suppressing the truth, because that's what the Jewish leadership was doing at that time. They were suppressing the truth from the people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so the point being that any religion that gives a false Jesus, the Bible says, is satanic. It's led by Satan fighting against God. So it doesn't matter what religion it is, Buddhism, you know, Hinduism, if they're giving a different Jesus, the Bible says that Satan is putting that deception out. They're leading them the wrong direction. So, you know, again, when you see people turning against Israel and now seeing these numbers about Americans turning more against them, a lot of these things are because of there's a lot of this false narrative out there that's even affecting the church. But the war with Iran has worsened American public opinion toward Israel and Netanyahu. A new survey by the Pew Research Center indicates that support for Israel and its prime minister has reached an unprecedented low in the United States. According to the poll, 60% of respondents said they hold an unfavorable opinion of Israel, an increase of 7 percentage points compared to a similar survey conducted last year when 53% expressed negative views. In 2022, only 40% held a negative opinion of Israel, and in the current survey, just 37% said they had a favorable view of the country.
Wow, so just continues to grow.
Think about that. When asked how much confidence do you have in the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to do the right thing regarding world affairs, 59% said they don't trust him. This marks an increase of 7 percentage points compared to last year and a 20-point increase compared to 2023. The data shows a clear partisan divide. 80% of Democratic Party voters now hold a negative view of Israel. Think about that. 8 out of 10. Compared to 41% of Republican voters. So pretty much you've got the liberal wing of America is, for the most part, turned against God's word and against the nation of Israel. That's pretty shocking. And even though I know that many of the conservatives that still stand with them don't know the Lord, at least there's some level of culture that's holding them in place. But now you see, I used to wonder, you know, and think about, wow, every nation will turn against them. I knew America's got to turn. When's that going to happen? It's not only happening, it looks like it's happened. In large part, you know, again, I know there's still some holding out, but we as a nation now have turned against the nation of Israel. It's not good. And it's only going to get worse because everybody's going to turn against them. That's why they have no one to depend on, Greg. When Russia and Iran, these others come in on them, it's going to be God defending them. That's it. No other defense.
Yeah. So that's why my question is, when that happens, will we be here or not? Because I'm thinking if we weren't here, how much easier will it be for America not to come to her aid.
Right, but can you imagine if we are here speaking just as Christians?
Yes.
Watching that happen? I mean, we could be telling everybody, here's what's going to happen, get ready. We don't know how it's going to come down, but watch. And then they all see it happen. What a testimony that would be.
Yeah, that's true, too.
It would be a powerful testimony, but either way, we'll see what God's going to do with it, but it's pretty wild.
All right, in our growing anti-Semitism news, which is really what we've been talking about, Israel365news.com, this article is dated April 3rd. Half of Greece is anti-Semitic, and the mayor of Athens just doesn't care. So this is what you get when you get when you mix anti-Semitism with apathy.
Yeah.
You get this story right here.
Well, this one is very interesting, Greg, for a specific reason I'll get to as we get into it. But the Acropolis still draws millions, it says, but Athens today is a showcase of Israeli flags defaced with swastikas, smashed Zionism painted across storefronts, and banners celebrating Iran-backed terrorist organizations displayed openly at public demonstrations. The Combat Anti-Semitism Movement, or CAM, has formally demanded that Athens Mayor Haris Dukas act. His record suggests he won't. Greece's anti-Semitism problem is not new. A 2020 ADL survey found that 69%, almost 70% of Greeks harbored anti-Semitic attitudes, making Greece the most anti-Semitic country in Western Europe. Think about it. They're leading the way. They're the most anti-Semitic in Western Europe.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, but let me finish. Okay. I'll share something on that. The number has since dropped, but not by much. They're still the worst. The most recent Global 100 survey placed Greece 73rd out of 103 countries. Of course, they're the most in the Western Europe, with a score of 50%, still more than triple Western Europe's average of 17%. And here, of course, is the catalyst, they say. Since October 7th, that was a turning point. October 7th was really, I think, a spiritual turning point for the world against Israel. Because a lot of this anti-Semitism, it may have already been there, but it was forced to the surface.
You would have thought the brutality of October 7th would have been appalling to these people.
You would have thought the opposite would have happened. But the opposite didn't happen, and it was a catalyst to catapult.
Everyone got on the bandwagon.
Yeah. But since the 7th of October, 2023, it says the hatred has moved off the survey pages and into the streets. Athens has seen vandalism of Israeli-owned businesses, assaults on Hebrew-speaking tourists, harassment of Israelis at local beaches, and repeated attempts by protesters to block Israeli cruise ships from docking. In July 2025, graffiti reading, "No Zionist is safe," was spray painted inside King David's Burger King, or King David Burger.
King David Burger.
Yeah, wasn't King David Burger. Actually, they did have McDavid's in Israel for a while.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah, it went under, but they actually had a McDavid's, which is kind of funny. That's what made me. But King David Burger, a kosher restaurant in central Athens. The same month, black uniformed groups began patrolling tourist areas, including Monastiraki, Thisio, and Plaka, I may have said them wrong, targeting Israelis and Jews. So Greece is turning into a hotbed of hatred for the nation of Israel and leading in Western Europe. Now, why is this interesting to me, Greg? Because one of my theories over the last few years, possibly, again, I'm not saying this is accurate. The Bible doesn't tell us. Let me just say that. But I've theorized that the Antichrist may come out of Greece.
Was that part of the greater Assyrian area?
Well, not necessarily, although probably at some point, yes. But that's not where I'm coming from.
Okay.
Scripturally. When you read in Daniel, it talks about the one horn, Alexander the Great. When he died, it was broken into four different horns. Again, these a symbol of power, these four different commanders. And it said, out of one of those four horns came a little horn that took over the world. So the imagery in Daniel is, out of one of the horns of Greece came the Antichrist. Now, you could argue it was just symbolic of the little horn coming out of the world leader at the time, and it's a picture God was giving us. But it specifically talks about the little horn coming out of the horns of Greece. And I don't want to make more than that we should, because we're not supposed to be trying to chase down and see who it is and look at different countries. But it's always made me wonder, is that a hint by the Holy Spirit that the Antichrist is going to come out of Greece? So then when I see this article saying they're leading Western Europe in anti-Semitism, I'm like, interesting. That's just very interesting
to
me.
That is very interesting.
It doesn't mean it is. We don't know where the Antichrist is coming out of. But again,
you would have thought it would either be France or Germany leading the way in anti-Semitism just because of the influences in those two countries. Greece just wasn't on the radar. I thought they're enjoying olive oil and Crete and the ocean and, a life. I'm not thinking that they've got such hatred.
Well, you got to remember, again, if there's a spiritual move of the enemy there, he's the one starting
that.
Yeah,
no, without a doubt. Yeah, but wow.
It is very interesting. Keep your eyes on Greece.
No doubt.
Because, again, that may be a player down the road, especially with this kind of hatred for the Jews. That may be where Satan is kind of rearing his ugly head again and working through them. And we'll see. Again, no one knows who it's going to be. But, again, that's just kind of an honorable mention. Keep that in the back of your mind and kind of watch, because I do find that interesting in the imagery that it gives there in Daniel about the small horn coming out of these other four horns that have been broken up, which again came out of the main horn, which was Alexander the Great.
All right, let's get into some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. Our first article comes from the Times of Israel.com. This is dated April 6th, 4.7 magnitude earthquake off Lebanon coast felt in northern Israel.
Yeah, these next two are both Matthew 24. You know, I'm finding that when I put these scriptures down, the majority of them anymore are Matthew 24.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, we're watching all these things increase more and more. We're going to be seeing more of that. Yeah. But, again, more and more earthquakes you're going to see. 4.7 magnitude, as you said, struck off the Mediterranean coast of Lebanon Monday morning. Felt in parts of northern Israel, the Energy and Infrastructure Ministry said. There were no reports of injuries or damage. The Geological Institute said the quake occurred about 10:52 a.m., noting that the magnitude was a preliminary assessment and may be updated. Reports from northern Israel indicate that the earthquake was primarily felt from Haifa north to Nahariya, the Ynet News site said. Now, a couple comments on this. One is, you're going to see more and more earthquakes and in larger and larger ways as we head into the last days, the Bible says. But we're seeing more and more earthquakes in the Israeli region. And so whenever you see more and more earthquakes, you see more and more disrupting of the earth's crust and core. And oftentimes you'll see earthquakes linked to volcanic activity.
That's, I was going there next. Yeah. Thank you.
So again, we've talked before about at least the theory that, I've thrown out there. And I'm, you know, like I said, I've not heard anyone else do it, so I'm probably wrong. But again, it says that when Russia and Iran attack, it's going to be supernatural the way that God's going to wipe them out. And again, if you go and have a brilliant move by the Israeli military or a brilliant move by America or any kind of brilliant move by anybody.
Any man.
Then you're going to say, you're going to give them the glory. Wow, what a great military move they did to stop all these armies. But if Israel's caught flat-footed and God steps in and wipes them out in some supernatural way, you know, you really have no option but to say something here supernatural happened. It looks like God's protecting the nation of Israel. And I believe you're going to see those volcanoes in northern Israel wake up, those cone volcanoes, and maybe be used in that destruction. Again, we'll find out. But if that's the case, that would go right in line with all the earthquakes, and you're going to see more of earthquakes and more stirring of that magma and more getting ready for these. And again, these volcanoes, they've been dormant now for over 1,000 years. So it's not like, you know, that yeah, everybody knows there's earthquakes there. And
not in our generation, not in our era, have we seen any activity.
No, it's been dormant. But I remember when I would go on these trips to Israel, I would see all of these, the basalt rock. It's this black, basically lava that has now hardened. It's all over the place. And it's all around the Sea of Galilee. And I remember going, why is all this volcanic rock all over the Sea of Galilee? And they tell me about in northern Israel, a long way away. I forget how many miles away it is specifically at that point. There are all these volcanoes up there in the north. I'm like, well, why is it all the way down here? Well, then the more I researched it, it blasts this stuff like over 200 miles in the air, you know, and hardens and falls back down on what they call bombs and releases fire and brimstone, all the way it's described in Ezekiel 38. But it comes all the way down, Greg, to those areas in that region. And when you read about this destruction, it talks about even the fish of the sea would be affected.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of that basalt and giant ones would have fallen in the Sea of Galilee. So, I mean, no doubt some fish were killed, they were destructed, right. All kinds of things. So it literally, you know, when you read that, you think, I used to read that, how are the fish of the sea going to be affected? Well, maybe talk about the Sea of Galilee. And at that rate, it would go all the way over to the Mediterranean, because if it goes that far. So it's truly amazing when you look at the definition of what volcanoes do when they explode, especially these cone volcanoes. And you see that everywhere because, again, if that's the case, you're watching now the earth get ready and groaning with these earthquakes, move that magma around, getting ready for the day they're going to take care of the enemies of Israel as they come in from the northern border.
We know Ezekiel I don't know that it's necessarily in Ezekiel. I can't remember where it's at. And I think it was the deduction in numbers that we determined that it was 5/6 of the invading army will be destroyed because it talks about a sixth surviving.
Yeah, there's a version. There's one. The King James uses that. There other versions don't use it, and some people dispute whether or not. But the King James teaches that 5/6 of the army, because only a sixth will remain. Right. And so there is some dispute on that, but that's what the King James teaches.
And we don't know what that number is. We just know the percentage or the fraction of this invading army.
Right.
But that does not mean, and this is kind of a question for you, that doesn't mean that necessarily innocent people won't also be wiped out in terms of the Jews dwelling in the area unless Israel has the opportunity to evacuate the region as they see the troops there. So what is your thought on that?
My thought on it is they will evacuate. You know, it's interesting, Greg. There may be some that stay, you know, and go down with it. But again, where those volcanoes are, there's not a lot of neighborhoods and houses around there. It's kind of out there by itself.
Yeah. Now,
and at the same time, when you see these armies coming in, typically in the past, when they know
they're
coming.
The Golan Heights.
And, yeah, if they see an army coming in, they're going to be backing away from that. So I would say you're going to see them kind of head further down toward the south and all and that kind of thing. But again, it's going to be, well, it can happen, like I said, at any time. And depends on even watching what's happening right now in Iran. It's just very interesting to watch this unfold and wonder how this is all going to come down.
So would you also imagine that God will keep those volcanoes shut?
Oh, yeah.
Until that appointed time and then the unleashing. Because that way nobody could say, well, these volcanoes have been acting up for the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, I think you can make the argument that if they came alive again, they still, if they came at that moment and erupted, that would be pretty amazing. But how much more amazing? If there's no sign,
right,
and suddenly, boom, kablooey. And what's interesting, we talked about it, when these things blow up, especially the cone volcanoes, volcanoes are different in the way they erupt. Cone volcanoes, they're smaller, and they're almost like a launch pad. You're straight up, they shoot it right up like some 200 miles.
It's a pressurized thing.
Yeah, it just goes way up in the atmosphere. The lava then immediately hardens because it hits the cold atmosphere. They come back down in what scientists call bombs, and the surrounding area, for many miles around them, the surrounding area, these bombs smash, and anything there, it kills everything in that area. It just demolishes it. So you get a picture of these armies being there, and all these things come down and smashes them in all directions. And notice this, when the cone volcanoes go off, they cause thunder, lightning, earthquakes, fire and brimstone. When you read the end of Ezekiel 38, it says there's going to be fire and brimstone, thunder and lightning, and great, you know, hailstones falling from the sky. It's exactly the description that fits a cone volcano. It doesn't mean that's it, but boy, does it look like that's what it is. It's truly amazing.
That is.
Yes.
All right. Our next article comes from Fox News, dated April 7th. Hate speech bill going forward after politicians call Bible passages, quote unquote, hateful.
Yeah, this is scary stuff.
Yes, it is.
Because scary for Canada and scary for believers, because that's just to our north and coming to a nation near you, basically outlawing the teaching of the Bible. And for those of us who teach the Bible, and for those of us who are going to make a stand in the name of the Lord, this would affect us because we could end up in jail. And I think about right now that the pastors and the believers in Canada, when this passes, I mean, you've either got to compromise and not teach all the Word of God, or you're going to face possibly going to jail. This reminds me of the days of the early church with Rome. I mean, the revived Roman Empire. Pretty ugly.
Same spirit.
A Canadian hate speech bill is drawing backlash from critics who warn it could chill religious speech and expose some people to prosecution for quoting the Bible. Bill C-9, the Combating Hate Act, and again, isn't that interesting? They call it combating hate. We talked about the Christians were called haters of men during the early days of the church in Rome. They called Christians haters of men because they preached the Bible. And they said, that's hateful. It's the same exact thing. The Combating Hate Act, introduced by Canadian Liberal Justice Minister Sean Fraser, passed the House of Commons on March 25th and now heads to the Senate. The measure would expand Canada's hate speech laws, create a new hate crime offense, and add penalties for intimidating or blocking people from accessing houses of worship, cultural spaces, schools, senior residents, and cemeteries. Now, what's interesting, I'm going to read the rest of this, but they're making it look, Satan is making this look like it's something good.
Yes.
Because we're protecting places of worship, cultural spaces, schools. But no, at the same time, you can't teach the Bible. This is evil. This is demonic. It's satanic. The sharpest criticism of the bill focuses on its repeal of a longstanding defense for religious speech in some criminal hate speech cases. Christian and Muslim groups say the change could chill sermons, religious debate, and other faith-based expression, while the liberal government and some Jewish advocacy groups say the bill is aimed at combating anti-Semitism, not criminalizing religion. Of course, they're saying that, but it's nonsense. Andrew Lawton, a Canadian Conservative member of Parliament who opposes the bill, said the legislation could leave faith communities vulnerable to prosecution for sharing their beliefs or quoting scripture. And I quote, Bill C-9 makes it easier for people of faith and others to be criminally charged because of views that other people take offense to, he told Fox News Digital. The bill weakens protections for freedom of expression and freedom of religion, especially with the removal of the longstanding religious defense, which has stipulated that religious beliefs and religious texts expressed in good faith cannot be seen as hateful. Now, look how sad this is. The Canadian government is trying to pass a bill say that the Bible is hateful, that it's hate speech. God's word. That God's word is hate speech. Look, everything that God says, Satan opposes. What God said is good, Satan says is evil. What Satan says is good, God says is evil. So now God's word is, we know, is all good. There's nothing bad in it. It's the word of God. Satan now has them passing laws to say that it's evil. If you can't see demonism starting to take the world over, I hope this doesn't pass. It wouldn't shock me if it did, just because of how Canada is really going just really, really the wrong way. But again, when you look at things like this, Greg, you realize it's not that far. Matter of fact, I guarantee you, the liberal people of America, most of them would agree with this. And if somebody tried to pass this law in America, I think they would say, yep, go for it. I think this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just because we're not working on a bill like this and we're not working to pass a bill like this,
not that we know of,
doesn't mean that we wouldn't do it. Just be aware. I mean, it's very interesting. Again, keep your eyes on this, because if it passes there, it's going to, and I think about, what does this mean for the believers there? Again, you know, I mentioned that. What does it mean for the pastors there and the believers in Canada? Their whole life's going to change radically overnight. And so it's either get out or make a bold stand and get in big trouble.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's what happened in the early church, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, the early church, weren't they facing the same type of persecution?
Absolutely. Same kind of thing happened then that happened now.
Okay, our good news article, and this is good news. This goes to show you it does not matter what man does, God reigns supreme. This is from Israel365news.com, dated April 9th, Iran's secret revolution. The crown prince who says Christianity is exploding underground. Finally, the one thing underground that goes on over there that we can get behind.
Yeah, well, it's kind of neat to see that something's exploding underground other than, you know, bombs.
Bombs, yes.
But this is really, you know, anytime you see this kind of persecution, remember in China when all the persecution started, they said there was just massive growth in the church. And now again, you see with Iran, massive growth there. Same thing happened in Egypt when they brought the pressure and the attack on the children of Israel. What happened? Massive growth. And God always, you know, they say the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. It just makes it expand and grow more. And that's exactly what you see. And this article really bears that out. Reza Pahlavi, the son of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, the last Shah of Iran, has been working for the most of his life to replace the oppressive Islamic regime in Iran. It's interesting. They call him the last Shah of Iran. I was thinking of a great Christian movie. The Bible says when the very last Gentile, you know, receives the Lord, we're going to be out of here. I think the last Gentile would be a great name for a movie, you know. Something like, you know, that's kind of a side note. But just, you know, if you're a movie person out there, the last Gentile, the final Gentile, whatever, like, you know.
Contact Pastor Mark. He's got lots of good ideas.
Follow that guy's life, yes. You know, and then suddenly there we go. Anyway, Pahlavi walked onto the stage at Liberty University this week and told thousands of young American Christians something the Islamic Republic desperately does not want the world to know. The faith it has spent 46 years trying to eradicate is not dying in Iran. It is multiplying. Jews, the nation that once sheltered the Jewish people under Cyrus and helped the Jews return from exile and rebuild their temple in Jerusalem, is today sheltering the Christian faith in its own basements, living rooms, at mortal risk, and its crown prince came to Lynchburg, Virginia, to bear witness. Now, again, before I go on, you think about the history of Iran. It's ancient Persia. That's where Esther was. That's where Mordecai was. Again, that's where Cyrus was. That's where, again, the area where Darius and Daniel, that region. So there's a lot of seeds that have been planted historically over the years in that region. And I know that those are long gone and people long gone, but it's very interesting to see that, you know, God is still working in that region. And I believe that after you see the destruction of Iran and Russia in the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle, I think you're going to see more people in Russia and Iran giving their life to the Lord and those other nations, because they're going to see the intervention of God. And so God's not, you know, God's not done with these people, these people in these areas. God's still working. It says, you know, being he's the son of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, and his, again, toppled in 1979. He has lived in exile ever since, training as the youngest fighter pilot in Iranian history at Reese Air Force Base in Texas. before studying political science at the University of Southern California. For more than four decades, he has been the most prominent voice in Iran's opposition, uniting his people from exile. This week, Liberty University President Don DeCostin introduced him as a freedom fighter. Pahlavi's cause has become a light in the darkness of despair that has swallowed his country. Between January 8th and January 9th alone, more than 30,000 protesters were killed by the regime. Women were beaten to death in the streets. Students were dragged from their classrooms and executed. Families were forced to pay for the bullets that killed their own children. And the youngest victim, whose name he read aloud, was 3 years old. So it's interesting, again, to hear the good news of the believers that are there and to watch God working. I know that God's doing a greater and greater work there in Iran. You know, Greg, when President Trump was threatening to blow up all these different facilities before the ceasefire, they were getting children and bringing them to those facilities and making them stand there around it so that if it got bombed, they'd all be killed. Trying to show it either, and I don't know, as a deterrent maybe, but really just as much, if it's not a deterrent, to say, look at America, evil America killing our children.
There's no value of life.
There's really not. They have zero concern for life.
No.
And again.
But neither does Satan.
You're exactly right. But what a wonderful, article this is.
Absolutely.
Here, as we see, you know, God working very obviously in the midst of what's happening there. You know, now, before we finish up, because I know we're about out of time, one last thing I want to mention that we didn't have any notes on was the shuttle. The spacecraft that went up.
Artemis 2,
Artemis
2,
yeah, not the shuttle, but Artemis 2.
Yes.
That went up and, again, surrounded the moon on the dark side. And, again, you see the pictures of the dark side. Doesn't look very different from the other side, which we didn't expect. But it's too cool because you've never seen it.
Right.
But just seeing the pictures of the Earth and seeing the picture of the moon.
You mean so it wasn't flat?
Well, again, unless they're all lying again, as people would say, if they're lying, you know, Greg, you could clearly see the Earth was round. Now, I guarantee you, though, those who really believe that it's flat, they're going to say, once again, this is all staged and fake.
Yes.
But let me appeal to you. If you're a Christian and you believe that they're all lying about this, I want to make an appeal to you as to why I don't believe that's possible. But let me just say this. And I'll say the reason, then I'll expand on it. There's at least one believer on that space, you know, on the Artemis 2, that is giving God the glory and even the gospel of talking about Jesus Christ, you know, from the Artemis.
Wow.
And just been a real testimony witness for the Lord. So, again, seems like there's always somebody, you know, that God sends on one of these that gives glory to the Lord. And they're talking about, hey, when you see this, you can't deny there's a larger purpose. They'll sometimes put it that way, but then they'll be more bold at other times and saying it the right way, using wisdom. But here's the bottom line. If you think that these are all faked and really the Earth is flat and all that, that means that every Christian that has ever gone up in all these capsules, every one of them are liars, all of them. There's not one Christian, and there have been many believers who profess Christ and stand firm and do ministries that
all
have come
back. All the space shuttle missions.
Have come back from seeing the Earth from space and all that. Every one of them would not only have to agree to carry on this game as a government cover-up, but they would have to agree to sin against God and say, you know what, we're going to put the government over God. I just can't buy that. You know, I think it was not Louis Armstrong, because he's the one that played the...
Neil Armstrong.
I'm being silly.
Okay.
But Neil Armstrong, I think Neil Armstrong is the one that actually had communion before they went out and stood on the moon.
Oh, wow.
One of them, whoever one of those first guys, they actually had communion, literal communion, the bread and the cup, and they gave God praise, and then they stepped on the moon.
Wow.
Now, you're telling me that someone that's going to do that is going to lie to the world till the day they die and lie to everyone else and that the Earth isn't really round. No, I don't buy it. So regardless of what kind of arguments you hear out there and government cover-ups and conspiracy theories, very clearly you've got numbers of believers that are declaring, yes, the Earth is round, we've seen it. And here's the other argument. Look, if you see even those that aren't believers, somebody's going to leak that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that all of them that have been up there in space and the numbers that have been there are going to be able to keep that a secret. You tell one or two of your friends some great secret, and in within a couple of years, that secret's going to be out. Imagine telling that many people that have been up in orbit of the Earth and been to the moon and back, and these late recent ones that went, somebody's going to tell what happened, whether it's deathbed or whether it's just a family member, and they say, don't tell anybody, and then it would get out. So I didn't plan on making a big argument for that, but you know, you brought it up. The point is, you know, when you see that, it reminds you, and one of the comments that he made was, when you get off the Earth and you look back and see that, you realize the purpose of mankind and that this is not about political things or wars or arguments or winning. There's something much larger going on here. And what a great viewpoint of just from God's viewpoint. This is God's creation. God created man. Man fell in sin. God came to the earth in the form of man in Jesus Christ. He died on a cross, spilled his blood, resurrected 3 days later, which we just celebrated last week. And again, for those who will repent of their sin and give their life to the Lord, they can be saved. I say all that as a great moment, not just to mark the fact of going back and circling the moon and going farther than anyone's ever gone, but you know, you may be listening today and you've never given your life to Christ. You know, the Lord loves you, and if you believe in Jesus Christ and put your faith in him and confess your sin, believe that he died and resurrected from the dead, confess with your mouth and repent, the Bible says you'll be saved, you'll be born again, and you're going to not only see the earth from space and heaven, you're going to see all the heavens and the glory of God in heaven. Make that decision even now. Don't let today go by if God's moving in your heart without saying that prayer and receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen. Pastor Mark, as always, thank you so much for your insight in the Word of God. And folks, thank you for listening or watching. Don't forget thewaymedia.net is where you can get all things Signs of the Times related, plus other content from Pastor Mark and Calvary Chapel to keep you fortified in the faith in the days in which we live. And we hope that we will see you next Friday back here at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today are pointing to God's Word as signs of the times.
This is WIAM 101.1 LPFM, Knoxville.